TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Conduit to trouble time, actually. So that means Zolgad and Star Tribune sports columnist Chip Scoggins. And Chip, I've got a list of notes written down here for discussion topics because there's certainly plenty to talk about. But here's where I want to start with you because the meltdown last night was so epic. Even by organizational standards, it was epic. What do you do about the Timberwolves and Ryan Saunders, knowing that Cat has missed the majority of the season because of injuries and or COVID? But when you're up by, what, 20 or 21 against the Orlando Magic at home at halftime, and you look as good as the Wolves did and conversely as bad as the Magic did, and then they come back and win on a three-pointer at the buzzer, what's your takeaway with where this entire thing is at?
Yeah, it's funny. I turned the game on. It was 91-81 with like 3 minutes to go. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'll just watch till the end. I was watching some of the inauguration stuff. It was a commercial, so I turned over and started watching that. And the thing was, Judd, I wasn't the least bit surprised they blew that. I mean, they're just, let's be honest, they're poorly coached. Their talent is abysmal. And without Cat, they're just wayward. They have no, you know, D'Angelo Russell just does not play like a max player in a lot of times. You know, he keeps saying we can't win without Cat. It's like, well, hey, man, you know, teams lose their best players all the time, and they figure out a way to, you know, be competitive or win some games. And so it's just they're a mess. I mean, I don't know what you do with them. Contract them.
At this point, move to Seattle, baby. Move to Seattle.
I mean,
Vegas.
If you said, is this area, you know, you know, a problem? Yes. Pick an area. Every area is. And so I assume leadership probably is looking at Ryan as, well, he hasn't had a whole lot of time to have Cat and Russell together, so it's we're not getting a full gauge of what he is as a coach. But if you follow social media at all, the support for him is basically zero at this point. You know, I mean, I think fans are ready for a coaching change. I don't know if that will help, but this is a mess. I mean, it's just it's an absolute disaster right now.
Absolutely. And the problem with a coaching change is this, and I know that fans don't want to hear it, but it's the truth, is that, well, one, it's a guy who is loved by Glenn Taylor. It's a guy who is in Saunders revered by the franchise itself. The other problem is with Cat because, you know, unfortunately for them, Chip, they have so hitched their wagon to Carl Anthony Towns, right? That if Carl says don't fire him, like you can still fire him, but everything that goes wrong to me gets you one step closer. And this might be a terrible thing and it might not. I don't know at this point, but it gets you one step closer to Cat saying, you know what? This is not going to work here. I want to go play with my friend in Phoenix, or I just want to go somewhere else.
And let's be honest. Ryan got the job for three reasons. One, because of who his dad was. Yep. Two, because he was cheap and they were still paying off Tibbs, and were they still paying off some other coaches? Rambis too, but definitely Tibbs.
Mm-hmm.
And three, and probably as important as the first one, is because of Cat. You're right. Cat likes him. That's who Cat wanted. They didn't want to have any more change. And they is a good relationship with Ryan, and so they've been over backwards for Carl Anthony to basically give him everything he wanted to keep him happy so he doesn't pull an Anthony Davis or some of these other stars that say, I'm out of here. And so, because then you're absolutely back at ground zero. So, yeah, I'm sure there's some people in the camp at this point would say, who cares what town says? You know, he's not running he's not the boss. But in every other sport, I would say that. I would say you can't let a player dictate how you're doing things. The NBA is so different where these guys just, they control where they play, when they leave, everything. And so if they're, you know, if they want to keep Towns happy, I assume that means keeping Saunders around. So I don't know how you get around that. If they came to a point where they said, you know, this guy's just, it's just not working, we have to make a change, how hard a sell would you have to give that to Towns? I would say probably a pretty, you know, that'd be probably a tough conversation to have with him.
Yeah, and at some point in time, I think Cat is going to get to a point where he just says it's not going to work here. And you know what, too? I mean, we are finding out, Chip, that there is a very good chance that he might not be the guy, right? Like, he could be a really good 1B to a 1A. But let's also talk about beyond Ryan Saunders. Let's talk about Gerson, too. Because, okay, this roster, and I understand, I mean, everything has to be said with the fact that Cat has been out for a significant portion of the season. But this roster, my God, you don't have a four. Jake Lehman started the season as your starting four, and he doesn't even play anymore.
Well, they have no bigs. This idiotic idea of playing four guards together and 2-point guards, I mean, that's killing them down the stretch. The number one overall pick can't shoot.
That's a problem, Chip.
Rubio is a disaster. When he, you know, obviously he's out now, but when he's on the court, he looks ancient. I mean, the roster is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and it looks really bad when you don't have Towns out there covering up for a lot of, he's a great player. I mean, in the limited time we saw him this year, he looked like a different player defensively. Obviously, we know he's, offensively is unique. And I think he's made some, real strides defensively. But when you take him off this off the court, I mean, look at the rest of the guys, John.
You know?
I mean, like, Russell is so inconsistent in what you get from him. But he's just a gunner, Judd. I mean, he can score a lot, but we've seen him disappear at critical times. Beasley, he's hot and cold. They don't have any good. It's just the talent's not there. And, you know, last February was the trade deadline where Gerson basically blew up the roster and traded, what, 5 guys, brought back 4. I mean, just, you know, did all these different, and then that led to Russell coming. This roster just doesn't work.
Can Culver play? Like, I mean, I watch Culver, and I don't really think he can play.
I mean, what do you think his ceiling is, if you're being honest?
Hustle. It's hustle.
I mean, there's not much there. And so,
I think he cares. He's just not good.
And when you have a regime change and, like, they're clearly radically reshaping this roster to try to fit what they did in Houston, and this, jack up threes and spacing and all this. But I look at him and I just don't see the talent there at all. Particularly their bigs. I mean, they just don't have any bigs when outside of Towns. When he leaves, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, Naz Reid, I mean, that's your big, I mean,
yes.
And you don't have a power forward. And so we're a lot of times when you go through this, you have these, you can say, okay, they're young, but I can see where this is going, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have this vision. Like, where do you see this going?
Nowhere. Right now.
I mean, like, if you project 2 years down the line, what do you think this is going to be? Like, when you collect young talent or whatever, you can say, okay, once these guys get some experience and you can see this guy's going to be really good. I mean, I don't see any of that here. Do you?
No, because my biggest problem is, and this holds true right now for Gerson and Ryan, I don't see what their vision is beyond we've got Cat.
No.
And I mean, he is, to your point, he's a great player. But I don't see an organizational vision here that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I think they thought Perrin, Russell, and Cat would be the start of something. And maybe it will be when they play together. I mean, we got to remember they haven't played together that long, but the more I watch Russell, the more I just think he's, a guy that's going to get hot occasionally. And it's just been disappointing how he's played at times. I mean, he couldn't make a shot last night. And there's been other times where in the fourth, he just kind of disappears.
The first half, he was great. 15 points. He had 4 points in the entire second half last night.
Yeah, and it's he just, you know, and maybe it's because of, you know, the way Saunders is trying to pair him with another guard and moving him, you know, taking the ball out of his hands and putting another point guard out there. And, I mean, that's I don't think that's the answer. That just continues the backfire on Ryan. I don't know why he keeps doing it. But the players are clearly exasperated. And if this doesn't get any better, I mean, publicly they're saying the right things, you know, they're saying supporting Saunders and all that. But
right.
At some point, you got to, I mean, you know, they have to take a realistic look at this thing and say, okay, is Saunders the guy for this? Is he getting outcoached every night? Is he overmatched?
Yeah.
I would think the general public at this point thinks that they've arrived at that conclusion. And so
yep. The
one thing is like, you know, there's no fans, so they're not getting booed, and they don't care if it's not hurting them at the box office because they're not selling any tickets. But when they allow fans to come back in there, I think there's going to be plenty of tickets available. They won't have to worry about social.
Oh, they're off the map again. Themselves. They're right off the map again. It's the same exact thing. The thing about D'Angelo that concerns me too, and this is actually an off the court problem that concerns me about his on the court performance. He talks a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
As if he has played well, you know, he's I think he's a smart dude. His quotes come off as being very intelligent and like well thought out. But it frightens me because he's not playing well enough to talk like he talks. And, you know, he does say we. So it's not just a big selfish thing. Yeah. But he says we like he's the spokesman. And it's like, dude, you really can't be a spokesman when you scored 4 second half points. And then to your point, you don't play defense nearly enough and you are ultimately a gunner. It's almost like he is saying, well, I'll take the lead here for what we're doing. But you want to say back to him, you're not doing enough to take that lead.
Yeah, it's almost like he's doing it because he's the highest paid guy now.
With
the town down, he's the max player. But it's like, hey, man, you got to earn that, too. You know, you have to be the best player on the court and not just the guy that scores the most points, but you got to play defense. You got to make the right decisions. And so that's the stuff he does not play like a star when the cat's not there. I'll say that, you know, and he just looks like another guy to me.
Yeah.
So,
and you're right on Ant too.
And now the rookie can't shoot. I mean,
I've never seen a guy get to the basket as much as Ant does and not make the shots.
He's strong. Well, he didn't finish. Yeah.
He doesn't finish and he thinks he's been fouled.
He's been fouled. Yeah. We're going to go through that phase where he's, he's worrying about not getting fouled. Well, just finish, you know?
Yep.
And so, but he can't make a shot now. And so I don't know. With Towns back, obviously they're a different team and they'll win some games. But the pieces just do not fit, I don't think.
No, they don't. And don't forget, a week ago, Towns was there for the Memphis meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're still capable of doing it, too.
They melted down. So, yeah, it's all Towns. And if Towns plays, they win, which I think D'Angelo tried to allude to last night. But the reality is, I don't think that they have Ryan's a young man and he's raw as far as coaching goes. But the most important thing is I don't think they have the discipline or structure to win. Yeah. And so he can't even milk ugly wins because, yeah. And I also think, you know, Kat in switching from Tibbs to Ryan, you know, Kat was tired of being yelled at and being, you know, told I'm sure that he stunk defensively, blah, blah, blah. And it's almost like they went to such a player-friendly coach that it's been way overcorrected. And so I guess my question now is, so who gets in their faces? Because you've got to have a guy who at least occasionally does that. Who gets in the players' faces today in practice, for instance?
And you kind of banged this drum all along with Saunders. And I saw the quote from him last night that just was alarming. Here it was. He said, I thought we started making things up defensively in terms of let's switch this as opposed to in terms of quote, let's switch this as opposed to stick to our solid game plan, end quote. He said, you can't do that. That's not a recipe for winning.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think guys are just kind of going cowboy and doing things they, you know, they want to do? Because they can get away with it.
Correct.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's because they can get away with it. I mean, absolutely. And that's not the first time we've heard him say that, that guys just kind of veered off the game plan and start doing their own thing. It's like, Ryan, because they know they can. And there's, I agree with you. It's like, I don't know that they're going to be listening to what he's saying and having the proper, I don't want to say fear. That's probably not the right word, but
respect. I think it's respect.
Yeah, respect, fear, whatever you want to say. It's like they venture off because they're allowed to, and they can get away with it. And I don't think that they worry about what the repercussions are. So I think that fits with what you've been saying all along, that who's going to hold these guys accountable and who's going to get after them, you know? And I just don't know that Ryan's the guy to do that.
All right, from the Wolves to the most exciting team in town, and of course, Chip Scoggins. I'm talking about the Twins because my God, when you get J-Hap,
you're gonna say wild.
1 year, we'll get to them. 1 year, $8 million for J-Hap. I mean, you have now filled the 4 or 5 starter spot. It's if Nelson Cruz is allowed to walk, I think this team deserves any and all criticism that they get.
Do you think that because of they struck gold with Maeda last year that they feel that's the recipe to keep doing it that way?
I see J-Hap more in the Rich Hill Homer Bailey replacement bin. I think they love to get veteran.
I think
they love to get veteran pitchers who they have watched on film, right? And they think if we just tweak this or that chip, if we just do this, it's going to be great.
He's 38, man.
Yeah, and look in the big picture, if J-Hap was part of the guys that they were bringing in, I'd be like, that's absolutely fine. I don't care. My problem is right now, it's their splash move. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being told, there's more to come. You don't understand. There's more to come. All right, I'm going to tell you what should come today. You call Nelson Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
You say, we'll give you 2 years. We'll give you close to $15 million per because you are that important. And by the way, you have shown no sign of aging and going off the cliff. We need you back. That's the call I want.
Yes. And why is he not locked up? And I know maybe he's waiting to see, you know, if with the National League and how many suitors, if there's twice as many suitors or whatever, but blow him away to where just, you know, I assume he wants to stay here and finish his career. He's had such a good run and is such a valuable part of the organization. You know, lock him up, get that done. And I agree when it goes back to pitching that, I mean, it's the same old, Judd, right? I mean, they're not going to go out and make that splash. I mean, I think it's abundantly clear this regime just does not believe in that they want to crunch the numbers and find, you know, And their pitching has improved. We have to, you know, you have to acknowledge that
they've improved. No question.
Under this regime, the pitching has improved. But it's everybody. Ask any fan when you're right there, you know, from trying to go from a playoff team to that next level to where you're a legitimate contender. You know, where you're not just going to lose in the first round and not win a game.
Right.
You have to upgrade and really go get that horse that. You know, get the best available free agent on the market just once, right?
And he's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's still out there. But I just, when I look at what the White Sox have done, and I know that the White Sox are one of only a handful of teams that have been aggressive this winter, and I get that. But when I look at what the White Sox have done, the White Sox have created separation with the Twins when the Twins in my mind very much remain in the window to compete and win.
Yeah.
And so I get, you know, I'm just tired of the, well, you don't understand, there's more to come, which I'm sure that the team is saying, okay, but right now the one thing that I could see, Chip, in black and white in front of me is that J-Hap, who, as you said, is darn near our age, is your marquee signing. So I'm tired of signing guys, and look, Cruz is a freak, but I'm tired of Rich Hill, Homer Bailey, I'm tired of people who basically I could go get the senior buffet with signing.
Judd, do you think with their rotation, they look at it as let's have 5 good to above average or above average to good starters versus let's spend money and get that true ace and just kind of feeling on the backside. Because it almost feels like they said, you know, Pineda is your three or four and Happ is your three or four. You know, that's not bad. And it's like, that's true, right? But it would be nice to have just that kick butt stud number one starter up there that, you know.
Yeah, the horse. You're right.
When you play, when you open a playoff series, you're saying, okay, we got game one, and now we just need to win game two, right? Like, mm-hmm. You just feel like when you put them out there, and they just, you know, it's almost like, okay, over a long season, if we have five quality starters, that's going to win a division title for us, you know? And, but when you get in a playoff, if you don't have that ace, that true ace where you can just count on them, then that's where the frustration comes in. It's like, yes, getting to the playoffs is great. It's wonderful. But if you want to take that next step, you have to act like it, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Frustrating.
And you've been, and yeah, and look, I get the fact that the new regime has improved this team a lot, that they took over what was pretty much a disaster at that time, and that they've done a damn good job. But when you've lost 18 consecutive playoff games, okay, and you have a team that very well in 2021 should be a playoff contender, and I would say should have the opportunity for sure to be in the playoffs again, all right? Mm-hmm. You should move heaven and earth, whatever you have to do, to say that streak ends at 18. Like, it's the longest losing streak in North American playoff history.
And the third thing, Jeff, it's too convenient to say, well, nobody's really doing anything anyway. It's just a couple other teams that are being foolish. Well, how do you know they're being foolish? Maybe they're just being aggressive, you know? Just because other people aren't making things, making splashy moves or being aggressive doesn't mean you can't. You know, and I understand that all these teams are trying to wait and see, you know, are fans going to be allowed back in and what's their revenue going to be and all that. But there's no salary cap, Judd. And
yep.
this is the time where you can really, if everybody's sitting idle, go improve your ball club like Chicago has. I mean, look how aggressive they've been. It's been, you know, imagine how that fan base feels, you know. But there's always the people come back and say, well, spending money, there's no correlation between spending money and winning titles. And just because you make a splash in the offseason doesn't mean it's going to, you know, turn into a championship.
Sure.
Okay, there's no guarantees. But you at least have to try, right?
Well, and you have seen for 2 years now against good competition in the playoffs, right? You have seen what your problems are. You've basically been given the gift of being presented with what your problems are and where your team needs help. And right now you're doing nothing to improve that. And I'm going to go back to this. If Nelson Cruz is allowed to walk, given what he means to you, and we've both seen this and know it on and off the field, it's a massive miscalculation of what's going to happen internally, I think, with that club. Because the one thing is, Cruz deserves credit for this. He has, in my opinion, helped Rocco every step of the way as far as how that club operates. And now you're just going to say, hey, you know what? It's slightly too much. So we'll let the Padres, the White Sox, or Dodgers take him. You know, that to me is if they allow that to occur, you could really come down on them and say they don't really understand what they just did, because this move is going to set them back some. And I really think it would.
Yeah, well, obviously, you see what he provides on the field. But it's everything. He's the total package with, you're right, I think, with kind of being the Rocco's conduit. Hey, conduit's the trouble.
Conduit's the trouble. Yeah, he is a conduit. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. To the clubhouse.
Yep.
And you're not, I mean, it's not like you're talking massive bucks. I mean, it's not like you're giving them a 7-year deal. I mean, this is like 1 or 2 years, right?
I'd go 2 years.
Yeah. But even that, I mean,
that's fine
for the value he brings. And the other thing, you know, we talked, going back to the pitching, Judd, I mean, what do we see last year in that playoff series? It's almost like they were and probably towards the end, they became so reliant on the home run ball mm-hmm. that the offense, when it went away, there was no like plan B in terms of scoring. So you better have some, you know, really good pitching. So it'll be, I mean, I absolutely think you have to bring him back, but it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of, I mean, how do you shift away from home runs? You know, I mean, but it just felt like they were so dependent on that.
That's what Pat said, too. Royce said the exact same thing, because they basically, they didn't look, especially in 2020 to meet you, they didn't look athletic. Like they were basically there to mash, and if they didn't mash, it was like, okay, then I guess we're going to sort of lose that game.
Yeah, it's
and that was Patrick's point.
Wait for, you know, it's great, it's fun. The year before, that was awesome, and it was exciting, and like I said, if you can, you know, if you can win that way, that's great. But if that dries up, and at some point it does, and it did last year, they had nothing else.
No.
there was no other way to score, and so I don't know how you address that. Maybe the athleticism part that you talked about, maybe trying to get a little more speed or get a little more, you know, a different way of trying to score,
mm-hmm.
not just be so dependent on that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that lineup construction? Is that hitting approach? I don't know. I think you probably have to look at everything, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. And problem two is this, Chip. Your bullpen. May is gone.
Yes.
Clipper's probably gone. Romo is probably gone. Whistler, who you didn't expect much from, and then had what turned into a pretty nice season for you, he's gone. Mm-hmm. And we all know that if there's a doubt that Rocco is going to yank his starter. So my next question becomes bullpen-wise. And I think they picked up, I want to say off the top of my head, I think they picked up two guys who I didn't know much about. But the point being is that bullpen was pretty damn good. Is that are you going to go back and re-sign some guys? Are you going to just go from scratch? I mean, you've got some decent components. But we know, Chipper, that when a guy goes five, that's basically it. And so are you going to have the bullpen depth that you did this past year to comfortably go to the pen, or are we going to have to basically sweat it until you get to, let's say, Duffy in the eighth inning or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously bringing back Duffy and Rogers, that's a pretty good start there. But, you know, they had guys that I really liked May. I thought he was, you know, an important part of it. Now he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically going to be relying on, you know, veterans or young guys that are in not really stressful roles and kind of some unknowns probably and hoping they come through. But I mean, you know, I think Duffy's really good. Rogers obviously had his issues last year, but I still think he's, you know, a guy you can count on. But they're going to have to, that's an area that's going to have to come together. I mean, you have to kind of piece that together early on to see what guys can do and what roles and different things. So that might be a kind of a moving parts type of thing as the season goes along. And when you look at this team just on paper right now, I mean, and you look at White Sox, would you say White Sox are the clear front runner in the division?
Yeah. By about five or six games, to be honest with you.
I think so too. I mean, I think so too. I still think that, you know, the Twins can be a playoff team. You know, I still like a lot of their lineup, but you will be counting on some guys that had regression, seeing if they bounce back, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a couple new faces in there with Andy gone. And so, but yeah, it's just a lack of activity and the lack of really doing anything is just, it's kind of a buzzkill, man.
Oh, for baseball, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's,
we still don't know the playoff format. From a league standpoint, we still don't know if they're going to go back to the pandemic format or go back to what the three division champs and then two wild cards after that. We're sitting here, it's almost February. We don't know.
Do we even know when they're going to report?
No, we don't know that.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, normally by the end of January, February, you're starting to eyeball it a little bit and saying, okay, 3 weeks, whatever.
Yep.
They report, and I'm guessing it's going to get pushed back a month or so, right? This thing kind of...
They claim it's not going to, but I think you're right.
Well, they better, you know, put their foot on the gas here.
We don't know the rules yet. We don't know if there's going to be a DH in the National League. If there's not, we have no idea yet. It's ridiculous. But it's... When we talk about the playoffs, like, I think the Twins are for sure a playoff team if we go back to what they used in 2020. If we go back to what they used in 2019, I think they're a playoff team, but I'm not, you know, as certain that they couldn't get beat out by a team from, like, the East or the West or something. I don't know. So
yeah, if it's one of
the buzzkill, the buzzkill factor to me as a baseball fan, both as a person that follows the Twins and then more importantly the entire league, the buzzkill factor outside of what the Padres, the Mets, the White Sox, and Toronto is just huge.
And this has been what, 3 years now, where the Hot Stove League has basically been nothing, just kind of a big, you know, waiting game. Or is this the second year?
No, it's the third.
The third.
It's at least the third.
And that's because this new regime of baseball executives are just kind of saying, "Out of hell with it. We're not going to sign veterans to these big deals. We're just going to be." Because it was three seasons ago where the Twins at the last minute brought in what the Lansley and all those guys that didn't get deals and
Lomo.
Yep. Yeah. So this would be the third year where it's really just kind of been. You remember how great the Hot Stove League used to be?
Oh, when we were kids, it was. When we were kids, winter meetings were an absolute highlight.
Yeah.
They were a highlight.
When we were kids, I mean, it wasn't too long ago where they were the highlight, where you go down there and you knew there's going to be big deals that happen. Now it's just like.
Loved it.
6 weeks of winter. No, just sitting around doing nothing. I hate it.
And guys, sit there. And the one thing is, I do think that, and this is not a good thing, I think we're going to have a bunch of teams try and get available players once spring training does start on the absolute cheap, right?
Well, sure.
And part of the problem is baseball can't make up its mind for what its rules are going to be. I'm sure a lot of teams don't know if they can, at least to start the season, have fans in their stadium and all that. So there's probably a huge fear about the fact that they are going to again have to bite the bullet when it comes to how much cash they can take in. But as a fan, I don't remember the last time that we almost got to February and I was this unexcited for a season to start, Chip.
Well, yeah, it's just because that's part of every sports off season, whether it's the draft or free agency. Part of the excitement level comes just from new players and, you know, how they fit and all that. And when it's just, there's no movement anywhere across the league, really, except for a few teams.
Yep.
It's just kind of like a big yawn, you know, and you want your, you know, if you're a fan, you want your team to get better, and it's only on paper, but it, you know, in your mind, you think they're getting better in the off season with free agency. And when they really don't do anything, it's hard to get excited for that.
How about them Wild, Chip Scoggins? Take that, yeah. California. Take that, yeah. The Ducks. Take that, Kings. How about that club?
Ducks and Kings, I think most people thought they would finish below the Wild, right?
And the Sharks, too.
In the preseason, preseason predictions.
Yeah, so. Thank you, Mr. Killjoy.
Yeah.
They're not good.
You probably don't like a lot of the way they went about winning, fall behind two goals in the first two games. But it seems like they have more depth and options now, right? The lack of a center is killing them. They got to get a center. So is Rossi available to come at all this year or no?
Is he is. For the year? He is, but he's I don't know what the upper body injury is exactly. So I don't know when he would be back, but once he can come back, he can play. And then they have six games in which
you get the 6-game audition.
Have 6 games. And then I think it's at that point that contractually they either have to keep him and burn a year of his rookie contract, or he can go back to Austria where he was playing previously, or juniors in Canada if and when they start.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if the 6 games started like when he made.
No, he'd play in those 6 games.
Yeah, and I don't know that they would even mess with it this year, or just give him a year more playing pro ball in Europe. But hey, you come back with three wins, and I don't, you know, they obviously have their flaws, you know. They need a sitter in the worst way, and the power play finally scored last night, but...
they got a cheap goal, come on.
But they, you know, they find a way, Judd. I mean, they found a way. It's a good start.
And you just, and Chip, you just phrased it perfectly. Think about previous teams and the makeup of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they wouldn't have done their furious rally thing to win, but I am saying that you didn't think of those teams as they found a way to win. I think Bill Guerin's done a very good job of building a roster that includes guys who can do exactly that, who can, yeah, who apply themselves. And just as far as, and I'm not talking about personalities off the ice, but I am talking about on the ice, the personality is not one that I think causes fans to despise them, which I would argue there were previous Wild teams with the personality on the ice of, you basically just said, bleep them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I do like, you know, some of the new leadership that they have, mm-hmm, and just, you know, kind of personality have. I do want to see this team, you know, play the Colorados, play the Vegas, to kind of really highlight just where their weaknesses are. And I mean, we know what they are, but it'll be interesting to see them play, you know, kind of the top teams, just as a barometer, as a measuring, yes, stick, to just kind of see, okay, we're, you know, we know they can beat the teams that aren't supposedly very good. But when you play, like, you know, those, the Colorado and Vegas and St. Louis, just, you know, how do they stack up with those teams? See where, you know, kind of where they're at there. That'll be fun to see.
Absolutely.
Where they're at. But yeah, your hunch, does Rossi make his debut this year or no?
My hunch is yes.
And stay.
Oh, I'm going to say, if he looks halfway decent, yes. Because I mean, you're right. They don't have a top two center. They don't have one. Bonino, yeah, is a third line guy. Eck should bump up line now, but he, yeah, ideally is playing where he should. Bukestad, third or fourth line. Bonino, same thing. So
Rask.
I'm gonna say, because of circumstances, that Rossi does play, but I told Dex this too. I don't want you to feel that he has to be forced to the first line, because unlike Kaprizov, he's a kid and you don't, yeah, want to screw him up. So what I am really anxious to see, I can't wait to see Kaprizov against the top teams, the Colorados,
yeah,
the, mm-hmm, Blues, the Knights. That's going to be fun because those teams are going to challenge him. And I think that he has the talent to play with and against those teams. And that, to me, is going to be a really good test to see exactly how much the kid thrives when challenged, which I think we'll be pleased about. That's my guess.
Yeah. And his play's been, I mean, obviously he had some great start and had some really nice passes, but it's been kind of uneven, I would think, right? Which you would expect. But man, he is that type of player though, Judd. Like, you notice when he jumps on the ice for a shift, right? I always find myself looking for his number and watching him.
Yes.
Because he just has that, even more so than Fiala for me. And I'm not the hardcore hockey fan like others. I'm probably more casual than the diehards. But he kind of has that talent for me that I pay extra attention when he's on the ice, just to kind of, because you expect, kind of like, same way I felt when Gabrick was here. Like, you would,
yes,
your eyes are trained to him to just kind of watch him and see what he's doing.
He's the best player on this team, I, yeah, think.
Most skilled, probably. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Fiala's game on Wednesday night against the Ducks concerned me a bit. He has yet to get a point, and he's got a ton of shots going into that game. So it's not like he hadn't been present or playing hard. But I felt in the win against the Ducks on Wednesday that I don't know if he was frustrated or what, but Chip, I'm going to go back to the key thing. You've got a problem when you're playing Kaprizov and Fiala on lines where the skill is not close to them.
Doesn't match them, yeah.
In fact, I tweeted last night, I said, because the goal that won the game was Ek on a feed. It was Kaprizov who cycled the puck to Greenway, who passed to Ek, who scored. And I said, given what I saw, I would put Kaprizov on the right of that line and take Foligno and put him on the right of Rask and Parisi, because I do. I think that having Fiala or Kaprizov play with Rask is hockey malpractice.
Yeah.
It's not fair to them. Rask is at best a fourth line guy.
Sure.
And they think, well, he's responsible and a veteran, but watch him. He's behind the play constantly. And Parisi still works his ass off. But I mean, yeah. Zach ain't exactly Zach of 5 years back. So I would give at least Kaprizov a chance to play on a line with two younger players who I think have a chance to be my future, as opposed to Rask and Parisi. And Foligno is going to work. I don't care who you put him with. So I would actually at least try the third line of being Rask, Parisi, Foligno, which I think would work hard and would make more sense.
And it seems like Evanson, he's open to juggling these lines too, right? I mean, it seems like...
Not as much as I would like, but he definitely is, yes.
I mean, we're four games in and we've seen, you know, Rask went up to, he had a good period, so he jumped out and played with Kaprizov. And so I think he's probably, with a condensed camp, he's probably still tinkering and trying to figure this out too. But you're right. Your initial point is correct. When you have two, you know, elite goal scorers and guys that have that kind of talent, you don't want them getting frustrated because they're playing with far, you know, lesser talent. They can't draw that out, you know, can't, you know, set them up and really be playmakers for them.
Exactly. So,
but that's, you know, this roster, obviously, Billy Garen still has a lot of work to do to get that center position fixed. And, you know, hopefully Rossi is one piece of that, but they definitely have to keep trying to find another center.
Yes, they do. Like, yes, they do. It's
like a sore thumb. Yeah.
It's the same as the ace bulldog pitcher that we talked about that the Twins need so badly. It's exactly like that. Last thing, sir. Conference championship games in football. Who do you got this weekend?
Well, if Mahomes is playing, I'll say them. I'll say Chiefs.
Okay.
Look like he was practicing today, so I assume he's going to play. But if he doesn't, then obviously I'll go with Buffalo. I think it was going to be close, though. I think that's going to be a shootout and be close.
Stephon Diggs, big game, maybe.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised either way on that one. I think Buffalo's good, and but I'm always going to give the nod to Mahomes at home there. And then I just think the Packers. I think they're better than Tampa. I felt like for the last 6 weeks that they were the best team in the NFC, and I don't see that change. I would be surprised if Tampa went up there and won. So I think it's going to be Kansas City, Green Bay, which I think a lot of people thought a month ago or 2 months ago what it'd be. How about you, buddy?
I'm going to go Green Bay and KC. Because if Mahomes does not play, I will probably be as shocked as I've ever been in all of sports. He's playing. He's going to play. Mm-hmm.
And if he's practicing right now, he's going to play.
And if he plays, I like the Bills, and they're a great story, and they're a damn good team, but I don't see how you beat the Chiefs at home. I just don't see it.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think Green Bay big, actually. I think they're playing better than what they were earlier in the year with their offense, but I think Green Bay's – they look really good right now in the way Rodgers is playing. I couldn't go against them. I mean, that offense is really good right now. So, that'd be a heck of a Super Bowl.
Oh, it'd be fun.
Mahomes and Rodgers, that'd be a hell of a matchup.
Lots of fun. All right, man. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you next week, Chip Scoggins.
All right, brother.
All right, take care.